American Auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
When we first started this show 15 years ago and about a month, so about 15 years and 1 month ago, the Sonics had really just left. It was fresh. The wound had not even come close to healing. I don't know if you could say it has now, but it hadn't begun to scab. It was pussy and bleeding and it was gushing.
Salk.
It was bad.
Salk.
What?
Salk.
What?
The wound heals.
But the scar remains. I don't know if this wound is healed. I don't know if I would say that about this particular wound. I would say there's still some open scabbing.
Oh, so you think if we had Mayor Nichols on the show, if we had Howard Schultz on the show, if we had Clay Bennett on the show.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the moment then, 15 years ago, it was so fresh, right? I mean, it had just happened the year previous. And, you know, people didn't really... They were willing to lash out at anybody. I mean, David Stern was still public enemy number one and Howard Schultz and everybody else. And I remember some of the conversations we had. I remember taking calls. We were actually at the VMAC having this conversation one day. And I remember taking calls on, hey, will you root for Portland? No. Will
no
you
chance.
Root for Oklahoma? We didn't even know yet. Would people root for Oklahoma City? No, obviously
chance.
Not. But at the time, we weren't entirely sure about that.
Would people root for Starbucks? No chance.
Right. We'll never eat or drink there again. And, you know, some of that stuff, I'm sure, fades for a lot of people. Maybe not for everybody. Not necessarily the David Stern hate or some of the frustration with Oklahoma City, et cetera, Clay Bennett. But, yeah, I'm sure some people decided at some point that they wanted to still get coffee at Starbucks, and you start to move on. And now it's been 15 years, and you're going to get a team back here very soon. The media rights deal is nearly done for the NBA, by all accounts. Once that gets done, then they will have the expansion to both Seattle and Las Vegas. And so I would expect an announcement, what, matter of weeks, maybe months? Not years.
And you think Bonderman will be the head of the ownership?
I feel pretty strongly convicted that that will be the case because he's already in NBA ownership, because he's already a minority partner with the Celtics. He's been vetted in some way. He's part of the club. Yeah, I would feel pretty strongly. Plus, he's got more than $6 billion and ownership of a building.
Yes.
I mean, like, this feels pretty darn simple. Right? There's no reason to overcomplicate this. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful building. It's been set up for basketball. It's got the locker rooms ready to go. This was always part of the plan. And so the Sonics are coming back.
It was a have to. Like, you cannot invest what they invested to restore that roof, that building, the cost of that, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's not enough concerts to fill in the rest of I mean, this was a have to survive. You know, and to pay off those bills and everything else to have the NBA eventually join the Kraken and coming back to Seattle.
Yeah. So this is going to happen. It's going to be Bonderman and the rest of the Kraken group. Remember, Andy Jassy's a part of that group from Amazon, and Amazon's part of this new media rights deal. Like, everything is set up and aligned for this to happen. And this is exactly how the Liwikis imagined it when they first got involved with this project all those years ago. And if you'll remember back to that day that we read that Tim Liwicki was going to be involved in building this new arena, or even at that point, just looking to build an arena, one of three different groups vying for the right to do it. I walked in here and said, game over. This is getting done. Tim Liwicki will do this. And he did. Yep. And this will be the culmination of it when the Sonics return. And that will be sort of the last step in making Seattle as whole as it can be. How are you going to feel about it? And I ask that question because of all of the anger with the NBA and a lot of the Seattle sports fans who went away from that league for the last decade and a half, understandably.
Right.
It doesn't look the same as when you left.
No. Nope.
It's not the same league that you rooted for in the 90s when the Sonics were at their peak. It's changed quite a bit. You haven't probably kept up with the drama on a day-to-day basis that keeps that league afloat and
going. Is LeBron going to stay a Laker?
Right.
Is LeBron going to be a Laker?
Is Kevin Durant elite? Right? Like, some of the questions that they ask on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, for, you know, like our guy Carmichael Dave in Sacramento, he spends all his time talking about the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the basketball conversation in this country, in the NBA, for the pro basketball conversation, is all about the drama and the soap opera and comparing one guy to another all the time.
Yes.
Is that what we're going to do here?
I think this will be a very strong basketball market. I do. I think there's very strong indicators, as I said, and need to know earlier in the show. The fact these guys stick around here, right? Spencer Hawes has made home here. Deadlift Shrimp has made home here. Sean Kemp has made home here. These guys, largely Salk, stick around.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to my peers in the broadcasting world. You talk to Ian Eagle. You talk to Mike Tirico. You talk to those, like, they all say the same thing. This, the NBA has to come back to Seattle. It is one of the best NBA markets there is. No offense, Carmichael Dave down there in Sacramento or in Phoenix or in Salt Lake or in some of these other markets. But the Seattle Supersonics, when they were a, you know, a market and hyper successful, by the way, through the 90s and world champions in 79, like, this wasn't a derelict program.
Mm-hmm.
Program. This wasn't one that, you know, was moving until those thieves from Oklahoma, along with David Stern and a sellout in Howard Schultz, decided to quit on one of the great franchises and a great market in that league. So I think when it comes back, it will thrive. I think the basketball community has been thirsting for this. I think that the showcases that the NBA pros have at SPU are a part of that. I think the Jamal Crawfords that are so ingrained here in this community from a basketball standpoint, the Luke Ridenhours up there in Blaine, Salk, can't wait for it to happen, and it will explode that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer's been awesome. Soccer's been a big part of it in their place. The Sounders were able to grow and have their niche and have their community, and that won't change. But that grew and I think was inflamed when the Sonics left. You know, they filled some of that void and absence.
It's interesting to read some of these texts that come in. They're kind of all over the map. No way. If an NBA team is good, yes. If not, no way. It's been too long. The old fans hate the new NBA, and the young fans root for players, not teams, unless their home team is really good. And then on the other side, Dion, Mike, tell me you don't know the local hoop scene without telling me. I'm literally not even making a statement about the local hoops team. So thank you, Dion. I appreciate it. 206, I'm going to feel refreshed. I was a Sonics fan first, only became a Seahawks fan when the Sonics left. 570, I don't care. I hate the NBA. There's nothing they can do to get me back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I still have a festering wound from the Sonics leaving 15 years ago, and I've basically boycotted the NBA since. Now that we might be getting a new NBA team, it will bring me back. I don't want the Thunder, a.k.a. old Sonics, back. Those jerks can keep their stolen team. I wanted an expansion team. Just get the Sonics history back. And by all accounts, I think that will happen, Brock. I don't think the Thunder have that. That's what about a million people have texted in here, and I'd kind of forgotten about that. So you know, you can kind of go through this. What's the NBA? Who cares about anything else? Yes, I just want the Sonics back. So I do think that there is a little bit of split here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of course at the beginning, and there's a huge group that is going to be over the moon excited.
Yep.
And for them and the group that you were just talking about,
their P1s off the charts.
This is what they've been waiting for 15 years.
Yes.
I am curious about, as you said, the P2s, the second group of people for whom they go to a winner, they go to what's interesting. Will they like that product? And will that be something that they're interested in?
I think that listener made a very keen point that when you do look at the NBA, it's not the NFL, where every year there's seemingly hope for 90% of the teams, right? Major League Baseball feels like it's turned. There's a little more parity. There's a lot more parity. There's more opportunity with more wild cards now. There's more hope. The NBA, and the Graz used to say this all the time. He called it the decade of darkness. Here it comes. Like, if you don't have your stars and you don't have difference makers, you are just going to be in year-long slumps where you're just not good enough. And is that going to be terribly appealing? I don't think it will. I think this town supports winners, and I think they support them in mighty, mighty, mighty ways. And that will be one of the challenges as an expansion franchise. How do they go about setting it up? How competitive can they truly be? Because there will be people off the charts excited, Salk. But man, if it's a tough product and you can't win, and there's not that hope on the horizon.
The one thing you can do in the NBA is you can get together a bunch of free agents who decide to come to your town.
You can.
Right? I mean, if Durant, for all of his talk about how important and how much he loved it here, decides, hey, I want to go back there, he can do that. Now, I don't know if Durant has any friends, because I don't follow the day-to-day soap opera of who's buddies with who in the NBA.
Gas he got in the tank on that body that's a lot older than the one that we got to watch at 18 here back in
Seattle. You think those 15 years have taken a little toll
on
him?
I think there's a little wear and tear on that body. Yes,
all right. Well, maybe he's got some young friends that want to come join him and play with him, and maybe he can.
You know what?
NBA is a different game, man.
You know what is silly, too, man? And this sounds super silly when I say it, you're going to scoff and others will laugh, but the brand matters. And that Supersonic logo, man, that thing, that brand, like that identity was so freaking cool.
Like the Raiders brand?
Yeah, like the Raiders brand. So, yes, like the Raiders
brand. Like the Raiders brand. You're not man enough to tell me to shut up.
You shut up.
We'll come right back with everything you need to know. That's not the only big news in and around Seattle.
Some new owners.
Yeah.
Some new money.
Kinda. It's
some
next.
Some new money.
On Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, unfortunately, Mariners couldn't get the sweep done yesterday. They gave it a shot, and yeah, they gave it their best effort, but it's going to be tough to beat an Atlanta team three games in a row, especially when you give them extra outs, and especially when you don't come up with that clutch hit that you need. They weren't really able to do either of those things, and Emerson Hancock was good, not great.
He wasn't as sharp, and I think the thing that stood out for me with Emerson and his time in the big leagues is that when he pitches well, he is in control of the count. He gets ahead in the count. He's on the attack. And today it wasn't quite as sharp early in counts. You know, we saw a couple walks early. Was able to work through it there in the first inning. But, you know, I think he's learning. He's a young pitcher. Days like today, you do learn. You say all that. And, again, just too many free bases today ultimately is what got us.
You give him a couple of walks. You don't get ahead in the count. You make an error or two, and you don't come up with a few clutch hits.
Yep.
Probably not going to beat a good team like the Braves.
No. Their roster and the Dodgers, the best. And the Orioles are a little bit younger right now. Maybe as full bloom and mature as some of those vets in Atlanta. But, my gosh, yeah, that is a loaded team, and you still won the series. You took two of three from them. It does strike me, you know, Goldie says what John Smoltz says, which most of these pitchers as analysts say, throw strikes. And it's so much easier said than done. But when you watch, you know, you watch this staff and you watch the command that Logan and George and Bryce and Luis have, Salk, in the swing and miss, I think that's what kind of jumps out the most when you watch Emerson versus those other four absolutely uniquely gifted, talented guys, is just that ability to throw strikes with swings and misses. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have that to the level those guys do. And I think you feel that a little bit. It's certainly against an elite lineup like Atlanta.
He's going to need and will often take some of that ground ball outs and those types of things. And unfortunately, again, when the defense doesn't do what you need it to do yesterday, it's a pretty tough recipe for them. So now they're off to Houston. It's just crazy. The Astros are 10-20. Believe that. I know it's only April. They may go out and win 12 games in a row and jump right back above 500, but they're on pace as of today to lose 109 games. Just bizarre. And it's really just been the pitching.
Yeah, they've still hitting. Go look at all the numbers about Altuve and Tucker and Alvarez and all those monsters.
You're still going to go through that lineup every time like, oh, man, this guy again and this guy and this guy.
Yep.
But the difference is they've had a lot of injuries and the pitchers that are healthy have really not pitched well to start this season. So be interesting. A battle of one team that can pitch, another team that can hit, and the opposite numbers have not been very good for either of them this year. So they start a three-game series tomorrow in Houston.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
We don't usually do non-stories and need
Show
to know.
Show me the money.
But I think it's actually worth,
Show me the money.
Worth discussing this one
just
because of some of the confusion out there. Mariners announced yesterday that Microsoft president and co-chair Brad Smith and his family have been added to the ownership group. Honestly, this is not a big story for anyone who's not related to Brad Smith. There's not a new infusion of cash. There is not an ownership sale. There is not really much of anything going on here other than...
There was not a new valuation of the franchise.
There's none of that. There's just an internal transfer of some stock.
So why do they do this? If you're the Mariners, you're John Stanton, if you're that ownership team, why do you, are you diluting? Are you, what, why would you add new people to your ownership group?
It's a good question. I don't think they're diluting, as a matter of fact, because it's a few of the minority owner shares that end up going from one to another.
Okay.
So they're not diluting the shares. It does not give anyone significantly more power or anything like that. You know, you're bringing another big name in business and a, first of all, smart guy who's the president of Microsoft into your organization. And maybe he has some new ideas, whether they be on the administrative side or the sales side or just the operations side or whatever the case may be. And then also, I think that there's probably some connections that go with that from a business standpoint. So, you know, maybe this means they partner more with Microsoft, or maybe he's on the board of another organization or something like that. Another company that they end up partnering with more. I mean, it can't hurt to have smart, influential people in your ownership group. But I don't know whether this is the like major story that I think some fans immediately thought, including my mother, when she first heard about it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she texted me yesterday.
Oh, interesting.
My mom was the first person to alert me to this. She's like, new owners? And I was like, no. I don't know what you're talking about. What? Like, I hadn't even read it yet. So, yeah. Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
It will be huge news when it finally takes place, and that is the return of the Sonics to Seattle. And I think it's coming sooner than later. So we're getting close now to the NBA media rights deal finally getting done. It looks right now, anyway, as if NBC is going to get back into it, Brock, and displace.
Is that John Tesh?
Yeah, John Tesh himself, I think, is doing the bidding, which is great. Yeah, when he's not doing Evening Magazine or whatever it was that he did, Entertainment Tonight, that's what it is. John Tesh and NBC is going to be back in the game, and TNT, it sounds like, is going to be out. So ESPN, NBC, and Amazon will be your rights holders for the
Justin,
NBA.
Does it surprise you at all that people would compare me to John Tesh back in the day?
Does it surprise me at all?
Yeah. You see some John Tesh in me?
I don't have enough firsthand experience here, so I don't want to.
You never met John Tesh?
No. Hmm. I've only it's just one of those names I've just heard stories of forever.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
He wrote a great theme song, and it's coming back, and that's the best news.
I think that's all anybody needs to know. And once that media rights deal gets done, next on the docket for the NBA is to do their expansion. And it does sound like, according to anybody who knows anything about this league, and I've talked to a few folks myself, it will get done almost right away, and the Sonics will be returning here to Seattle under the ownership of Kraken owner David Bonderman and probably some others invested in there as well. So that's the future, man. That's what's going on, and it's going to happen pretty quick.
They got the money, they got the relationship, they got the building, they've probably got the team next.
Yeah, that's and as I mentioned earlier, this is actually, I think, a key part of it. He's already in the club.
Yes.
I mean, he's already an NBA minority
owner. Is he in the club or the club?
I don't know. Well, I've met Bonderman. I don't know whether he's in anything, would be my guess. So I don't know if we're going to go in that direction. Okay. We're ranking in about 20 minutes. Got a good ranked for you today. It's not a long rank. Not a lot of... Not a lot of honorable mentions, but...
That's a good thing because
it's got a good dad joke just sitting right in there.
We got a little something for you.
For me?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about quarterbacks. We're going to talk about quarterback competition.
Oh, I thought you had something for me.
Well, there is, I think, something else. Justin, something else come in? I think something else may have arrived. So, something else may have arrived.
I don't know if I like this. I don't know whether I feel comfortable with what
I don't think you love surprises.
I don't like surprises. I don't like to be surprised.
No, you don't.
No.
Well, you're going to be.
I don't want to be.
No, you're going to be next.
I don't want to be surprised.
Right here.
Don't surprise me. Next.
This is Brock and Salk.
Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
You don't like surprises, huh, boss?
No, I don't.
Is this a new thing at 46?
No, I've never really liked surprises.
You don't
like
surprises.
I like to know.
You are a private person as well. People need to know this about Salk.
I am?
Don't you dare put your phone, my hands on his phone. Don't you dare look at my phone.
Or touch his hamstring.
Or touch me. Don't touch me, bro. And don't tase me.
I'm not very private at all. I live my life here on the air pretty open.
Nah, you're a pretty private guy.
I don't think so.
No, as far as a radio personality, you're very transparent, and you are willing to put yourself out there, but I think there are times you appreciate and enjoy your privacy.
Okay.
And I am just curious, like question before the surprise.
Yeah.
When you go to, I don't know, a doctor's appointment, do you write down your personal number? Or, you know, when they ask for information, do you give the company's number?
No, I put my phone number.
You do put your phone number?
Yeah, why not?
Well, because, well, we receive this and we're not going to name the company over there.
Yeah.
On the east side, we wouldn't ever do that.
No.
Legally, we can't do
right,
it.
Of course not.
We did receive this voicemail wondering, did you put the work number down and why in the world we received this?
Hello, this message is for Mike Salk. My name is I'm calling from to follow up and extend my sincerest apologies for the insensitive remark made during your most recent visit and for any distress or discomfort this has caused. We understand that everyone's medical concerns are personal and private, and I want to assure you that we're taking immediate steps to address this matter internally to ensure that incidents like this do not occur in the future. If you'd like to discuss this matter of the skin on your nose, cheeks, forehead, chin, neck, forearms, or any other unsightly areas that weren't visible during your visit in more detail, please don't hesitate to contact me directly at this number. We're here to support you in any way we can. Once again, I apologize for the lapse in professionalism. Please know that we remain dedicated to serving you with the utmost care and respect.
That's good.
I look forward to hearing from you. That's really mean. Bye-bye.
That's really mean. That's really mean. I don't like you guys. That's not very nice. How many unsightly areas do you think I have? For those of you who missed the story yesterday, I did tell the story of going to the dermatologist for some bumps on my inner arm. Yep. And the first thing she said to me was like, oh, yeah, I see those. What's going on with your nose? It's hideous.
That looks not all she noticed.
It's like, I feel like nothing is going on with my nose. What do you mean?
Is it possible, Salk, you didn't really learn a lesson? Because I have it on pretty good accord that maybe your spouse gave you some counsel before you headed in there that they aren't always the kindest. You know, that they will point out other flaws and other issues.
She did tell me there might be some upsell. She did tell me that, like, she went in there for something else, and they were like, well, what about this, this, and this? And she's like, oh, what would that run me? They're like, oh, 12 grand? She's like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Thanks, but no thank you. All right.
You know what this entire process has done for me, though?
I'll remember this.
You know what this entire process has done? It's benefited me, because I didn't realize I didn't have Heather's cell phone until, you know, I had to do some work. So now that I do, now that we've connected in that way.
You don't have Heather's cell phone number?
We're texting, but, well, do you have Molly's?
I think so.
You think so?
I think I do.
Are you sure?
No.
15 years you guys have been friends.
I think I do. I don't know. I don't even let myself into my phone. So I had to go through what's in here.
I had to go through.
If you'd like to discuss this matter of the skin on your nose, cheeks, forehead, chin, neck, forearms, or any other unsightly areas that weren't visible during your visit.
All right. That's enough. How dare you guys? You know what? I don't have Molly's number. I thought I did. Turns out I don't.
I thought I did, too.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in tub time last night. I called Justin during tub time. I said, Justin, I think I got an idea.
Yeah.
I told you why it was an extended tub time. I said, I think we need to get an email, you know, from said company, and we tried to figure out the best way to do this. And I got Heather's number, and now you're in real trouble.
Why did you need Heather's number for this?
Because I needed to find out where this facility was.
Oh, yeah?
So if we had put it in an email form, you would have seen, like, dang, how did they know that? But
some legitimacy.
Yeah, obviously.
Just add some.
All right. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you, Brock, for airing my personal business there. That's really nice of you.
It's a private man.
Just Brock. What I needed.
He's a private guy.
He is a private guy.
I thought there was a hamstring joke coming in here, so I'm glad to see that I avoided that.
Nope, that's
Well, see, the thing is, this is a really juicy topic, and now we've got, all right, we got a little time for this. I'll tell you what. I want to dig into this topic now, but this is going to be for tomorrow.
Yes.
This is a preview. You guys want a little preview of tomorrow? I'm going to give you like a 10-minute preview of tomorrow, because Jim Nagy said something that, quite frankly, I think I agree with. And I need some time to really formulate, but sometimes somebody will make a declarative statement, Brock, and you're like, why haven't I said that yet?
Right.
Like, I want to be the guy who said the declarative statement. He said it. I think I might agree with that.
That's such a simple truth. Like Wyman on the night of the draft 7 days ago. Like, hey, Brock, what's this team's biggest issue? Stopping the run.
Right.
So go draft the best run stopper in this draft.
I'm not above being jealous of other people in this business when they say things. I'm like, darn, I should have said that. Mm-hmm. And when we talked to Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, almost as an afterthought, I asked him about Sam Howell. I mean, we were talking about all the guys they drafted, and there's really great stuff in there. You should go back and listen to the interview at seattlesports.com. He's really good and great stuff on all the new draft picks. But just, hey, did you see Sam Howell? Oh, yeah, I saw Sam Howell. And guess what?
Yeah, it's a cool thing to stash them away. And I really hope they open it up. I hope it's an open competition, similar to like when they had Russell and Matt Flynn. I think Sam's the starting quarterback in the league. I'd just love to see him with a better supporting cast.
Should they open it up?
Wow.
Should this be an open competition at training camp this year?
A training camp? How about right now?
Okay,
how about
right
when
now?
when they get on the field and start doing their OTAs competitively?
Let's talk about what that really means. To have an open up competition means roughly the same number of reps for each of them. It doesn't mean that Geno doesn't still get the first team reps. He probably would, but it would mean rather than him getting, 80, 90% of the reps or whatever your number is, he gets closer to 50% of the reps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had heard about a competition between Gino and Drew, and then our eyes told us this is not much of a competition because these reps are very, very much tilted one way. And every time the starters come out, mm-hmm. we had heard that there would have been a competition back in the day, you know, between Michael Penix and Dylan Morris and Sam Huard that spring. But it became very apparent, you know, from day one, it was Penix that's going to run out with the ones every single time. And obviously he proved why, because he's an unbelievable talent and everything else. So will we see any divvying of reps? Should we? And before you answer that, because you'll have all night to think about it, okay. So will I.
Well, I got more sound for you, too, that I want to play.
Yep, you got some Michael Lombardi.
Mike Lombardi, here, yeah. So this is Mike Lombardi, and he was on in Washington, D.C., talking about Sam Howell. And here's what he said.
And I said this to three or four head coaches in the league this offseason.
Yeah.
I would rather have had Sam Howell than a lot of these quarterbacks that have drafted in the first round.
Really? So
which one specifically? Which you'd rather have Howell?
Other than Caleb Williams, I probably would rather have Sam Howell than any of them.
That's scary.
Well, that is a massive statement.
That's a massive statement.
Yes, it is.
Five quarterbacks were drafted in the next, 11 picks? And he's saying he would have rather had Sam Howell than any of them. Than Michael Penix,
okay,
then Drake May,
yep.
Then Jaden Daniels, then Bo Nix. That's yep. a huge yep. statement to make, Brock.
Okay, a couple things here as well, just a little further context, as you said.
And you're not even going to give him a shot at participating?
When I had gotten traded to the Indianapolis Colts, I've told you this story, but there's new listeners, and I don't think Justin, certainly Frank doesn't know this story. When I got traded to the Indianapolis Colts, Marvin Demoff and I, after that season ended, what was that, in 2001, my third year, Trent Dilfer was there, Matt Hasselbeck was there. I knew it would be a 0.0% chance that I could do anything to ever start or play there. And frankly, even to be the number two,
mm-hmm.
right? The Trent Dilfer had won a Super Bowl, and you know he'd won over the team, and great guy and everything else. So we said, let's see if we can find a place to go be a two. You know, not going to be a starter, right? Did not have that resume. Got hurt like heck the one year I got to start. But is there a place that I can go be a number two? Mm-hmm. And it ended up being Indianapolis. And it ended up, by the way, having a new regime. Tony Dungy was coming in there with me as well in a new regime. And Tony was like, yeah, I'd like to have him. So they traded a fifth. And when I got there, I had 3 years in the league, but we're sitting in the very first team meeting, and Coach Dungy says, hey, you know, let's have our draft class go ahead and stand up, you know. And he's like, actually, Brock, you were a fifth-round pick. So, you know, as far as a trade situation, and why don't you stand up with this class because you're new here as well. So in some ways, I was included in that class. You include Sam Howell in this draft class? Like, you include Sam Howell in this draft class for the equivalent of a fifth- or sixth-round pick, you see why people said it was a home run. You see why Michael Lombardi played the other cut, because Michael Lombardi was talking about all these other teams that wanted a piece of him, including that team up in Philadelphia.
Do you think that Sam Howell then unseats, if he's so good, does he unseat Geno Smith in Seattle?
Let me tell you something. There are about four or five teams that wanted him. The Eagles were all over Sam Howell. They wanted him bad. They wanted him as a backup because, okay. I mean, look, they could have, Philly would have put Howell in a game, fixed him up, dressed him up, and sold him to the highest bidder 2 years from now.
Why didn't he answer the question? That would have been more helpful.
Yeah, it could have helped. Should we have him? Should we reach out to Michael?
I don't know his number. But sure.
I mean, I didn't have Heather's number. Now I do.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I got Lombardi's number from back in the day when we had him on, the former GM and everything else. Pretty connected. It's so cool to have Heather's number now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to really be texting her.
Sure, she'll love that.
Let her know that.
I'm sure she would really enjoy that. Yes. You should send her some of the political stuff you send me.
Brock,
see where that gets
Brock
you.
Brock was trying to give me a text her last night. I'm like, they're at a show, Brock. I'm thinking, like, why so is Justin texting me?
Send her something from Newsmax, Brock, and see where it goes. Really like to see that response and that conversation between you and Heather.
Answer the question. Yeah, sorry, he didn't answer the question.
Why didn't he answer the question? Do you think he unseats Geno Smith as the quarterback here? Well, not if he doesn't get an opportunity to do so.
Do you think he gets a legit opportunity? Do you think with a new regime, new set of eyes on this thing?
I don't know.
Have you heard anything
from?
Have you heard anything from John and from Mike?
Only that. At no point has it ever felt like Geno Smith was John's guy. Right? It's always felt like he was Pete's guy and not necessary. And I know John said they don't have my guy and their guy and this and that, but that's just how it's felt. He's still here and they picked it up and they've decided to move forward with him.
Do you know that if Sam Howell, imagine
that John Schneider would have traded for Sam Howell, but doesn't want to see him at some point play.
Do you know that if Sam Howell had come out of school his sophomore year, he'd have been a top 10 pick?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that? Like, he was a young guy. He played as a true freshman, won that job over, did well. The next year, he was unbelievable.
It kind of fits with what Jim Nagy said, right, in terms of, like, when he had good talent around him, he was great. When he didn't, he wasn't. Sounds like another left-handed tall quarterback, mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah, boy, it sure makes a difference. Time, place, situation, fit, people around you. All those things about playing that position. Had he come out of school, he'd been a top 10 pick. He was projected going into his final year to be a top 10 pick. And then obviously the wheels came off. Yes, very similar to me. Fundamentals went to the crap. And he got beat up. And I think probably emotionally, mentally, physically, all of it, you know, hurt him. And he falls all the way to the fifth round. You know what else he did? What strikes me there? And Jim brought it up. Dude started every game and got the stuffing beat out of him.
Yeah.
But stood up and started every game on a pretty bad team where he had to do everything on that offense. Do you know how many other franchises, Salk, of the 32, and I don't know that, this exact number, 31, I'll look it up because it'll be part of the argument tomorrow, had their quarterback start every single game?
I bet it was less than five.
Yep, not many at all, because there were some, 58 that played and started games last year. So pretty tough dude, pretty talented dude.
So what do you think?
Oh, by the way,
should
they open it up? I think you should open it up. Yeah. But I think ultimately the locker room's going to tell you some of that here over these next weeks and months.
Can't fool the locker room.
You can't fool the locker room. And on that rookie mini camp, whatever it was 13 years ago, you couldn't fool Pete. Russell Wilson has to compete.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have a chance to start here. He has to. He blew their doors off at that rookie minicamp.
Yeah.
It is a different deal. But
it's
if
not
Sam
that
is out there.
Though. I mean, Tavares had started and had roughly the same amount of success as Geno.
If Sam is out there throwing darts right now, Salk, and he's throwing lasers and he is wowing his teammates and Tyler Lockett and Jaxon Smith and Jigba, maybe we'll talk to G about this tomorrow. Not maybe, we will. Right? If he's out there putting on a show and these guys are like, dude, DK's like, man. This guy throws the deep ball like Geno.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, man, he throws it nice. Like, and I kind of like some of his swag. I kind of like some of his fire. Like, don't you think that's going to be some of an indicator?
Yes.
And don't you think this system, why do you think Sam Howell, he had four other options. Philly was one of them. Denver was one of them. Rams were one of them. They all wanted him. And this draft told you why. Because after the top six, there was a cliff. And he is, you know, I think far better than Spencer Rattler because four other teams wanted to trade for him. And ultimately Sam said, no, I want to go there. I want to go there because I like that system. That's a college system. And I bet you between he and his agent on a golf course, you know what else they would say, Salk? I'd like to compete with Geno.
Mm-hmm.
I got a better chance competing against Geno than I do Jalen Hurts, than I do Matthew Stafford, right? Than I do in some of these other spots. I wouldn't mind competing with Geno if I get a shot to do that or I get an opportunity. I may not turn back, and I may get this opportunity and run with it with a pretty good supporting cast around me.
Well, this will be very interesting. I mean, we've talked about it as sort of a possibility, but I don't know whether anybody has said it quite as directly as Jim did like that. And it was sort of a crystallizing moment, I think, for both of us when he said it of like, yeah, why aren't we talking about that? Why isn't there a legitimate conversation here about whether or not there should
be a Jim has ever talked
to
John or anybody else on the staff?
Clearly, they've got some friendship, yes.
Yes,
so, I mean, I don't know whether he was saying that he's heard something like that'll happen. I would not put that on him.
Right.
But I do think it's important to hear him say, do you think that if they had stayed with Drew Locke that it would have been more of an open competition this year?
They talked about Drew a lot, man.
They sure
that
did.
First month on the job, mm-hmm. they sure mentioned him a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to text Heather here while you get ready for
Please
rank,
do
and
that.
I'm going to text
yeah.
Mike Lombardi.
That's a really good idea. Please text Heather some of your thoughts on the world and see where that gets you.
What she thinks of these protesters.
I
have Lombardi's number.
Oh, good. Oh, perfect.
Right. To discuss this matter of the skin on your nose, cheeks, forehead, chin, neck, forearms, or any other unsightly areas that weren't visible during your visit
in
more
unsightly?
Detail.
Unsightly? What do you mean unsightly? Why would you put unsightly?
Was that her?
Unsightly?
Was that the same assistant, by the way?
It sure sounded like her. I'll tell you that much. It sure sounded like her. Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, today we are ranking some of the most unsightly parts of my body. Oh, no, we're not doing that, thankfully. We can if you want. Many of my body parts are unsightly.
Okay. Brock calls me during tub time. Then we have this. It's disgusting.
A lot. How are your knees? Do you got good looking knees?
I think my knees are all right. I mean, they're covered in hair, but other than that, they're fine.
Okay.
What is the most sightly? What would you say is your most sightly?
What's my most sightly feature?
Most unsightly?
I got nice eyes.
There you go. I'd say calves. Calves
and I have
strong.
Decent calves.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. I have nice eyes, decent calves.
Brock, you? You're most sightly?
I think I have a pretty nice rear end.
What do we do?
As long as there's clothes on. I mean, like, no one needs to see the hair, but as long as the clothes are on, I think I look good in a pair of pants.
Yep. What is going on here?
I don't know. It's a good question. Today we are ranking shops. Shops ranked. Right?
Shops. The wood shop that I'm sure Brock spent a lot of time in.
I'm sure.
I'm just trying to text Heather and Mike.
The Home Shopping Club.
Live from Tampa Bay, Florida.
It's really dramatic.
Home Shopping Club. America's original live.
I like the way it goes from dramatic to super like, hey, all right.
Live from Tampa Bay, Florida. That's where it would be.
Of course it is.
Would. That's perfect.
That's exactly
there
where
Orlando.
It should be. Yes. Frank wanted to make sure we got this one in there today. Is this from the Rick Moranis version?
Yep.
Seymour, Feed Me Seymour.
I saw that movie when I was a kid and it freaked me out. I haven't watched it since.
With the man-eating plant?
With the plant, yeah.
It's a play first, right? It was a musical.
Believe
and then they made
right.
it a movie.
Frank would be able to confirm that for us.
Frank, is that true?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing it in the theaters. It was a good movie. Brock, yesterday we were talking about bands from the 80s that take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And we actually have two of them here in rank today. Yesterday, who do we have yesterday? Oh, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah.
And Duran.
Talking about Duran Duran.
We're both in there. How about the Smiths?
The new owners of the Mariners?
Different Smiths.
Oh.
Does anyone take himself more seriously than Morrissey?
God, does anybody think they create art more than the Smiths?
Right.
Don't you really love an elitist, arrogant artist?
I know. Yeah, kind of.
They're so great to spend time with.
I was actually messaging with a friend of mine from high school who's like an A-plus artist yesterday. Uh-huh. She's unbelievable. She's the best artist. She gave me for my wedding a piece of art that she painted.
Yeah.
And there was another artist that we know walked into our house a couple weeks ago, looks around our house, looks right at her painting, goes, "Who painted that?"
Nice.
Wow. So I asked my friend Julie, and she's
I'll give you.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
I'll give you a hot declarative take.
Okay.
Artists go one of two ways.
Yeah.
They're either very humble.
Yes.
Self-deprecating. Or they're very elitist.
I think that's true. I think you're right about that.
Very little middle ground.
Yeah, I think that's right. No. Of course, you got the body shop, Brock, and maybe a shop vac, and metal shop, wood shop, shop class.
Yeah.
Shopify, Shopgo, Stop and Shop.
You know what one of my great features is, Barnes? I've been thinking about your question. My nails. My hands.
Your nails?
Brock has always wanted to be a hand model.
I have like the greatest fingernails of a male.
Huh.
They're beautiful.
Interesting.
Yep.
Perfect.
And I've never even got a manicure in my life. If I did, I'm afraid they'd be like, wow, those are too beautiful.
You can't touch them.
You know who this is, Brock?
Too beautiful to live.
That's spray painting Michelangelo's David.
Enya.
It's not Enya. It's a little before her time.
Darn it.
That's Frederick Chopin.
Scotty and Bellingham once, they said, "This is usually a good show. No more hairy talk, please."
I can't help it. Just who I am. What do you want in my life?
No more visuals, says Fred and Birchman.
Can't help it. It's just who I am. Are you ready for the top five? Chopin didn't make it.
Yeah,
Chopin.
No.
It's ridiculous. Number five, the Shop Boys. Do you think they take themselves as seriously as Morrissey?
Yeah, they clearly do.
Why am I picturing, by the way, Maura on the beach? Listen to that right now. Did you see her tweet? She tweeted for the first time since her defeat.
She said an Instagram post with her with the swimming with the pigs.
She swam with pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And goats,
holding baby goats.
Yeah.
Living a best life out there.
Nope. First tweet since 5 days ago where she apologized for her failure.
For getting smoked.
Yep. She just had a picture at the beach and said, "I might just stay here."
Yeah, well, I think she thinks that every day at 9:45 West Coast time.
I agree.
Number four, Sublime.
Whoa, that's not higher for you?
I do like this song. It's not my favorite Sublime song.
Pawn Shop, huh?
Yeah.
Pawn Shop.
Just imagine Salk driving around the Inland Empire listening to Pawn Shop in a Honda Civic.
You've been in a pawn shop talent at that point, but yeah.
What? Salk, have you been in a pawn shop?
I've only been to one pawn shop. I've told this story before. I needed to get a silver dollar. And I went into a pawn shop and I said, okay, they had silver dollar there. How much is it? The guy said, it'll be $1. So I gave him a dollar bill. He gave me the silver dollar, but I don't know whether I bought it or if he gave me change.
Just traded.
I think if I bought it, there would have been tax.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think he just gave me change for my dollar.
Sweet.
Why? Which then begs the question, why do you even have
We're running
here?
Out of time. That was number four.
That was number four. Yeah. Number three is, well, another band that takes themselves seriously from Britain. Pet Shop Boys.
This is ahead of Sublime.
I love this song.
Western Girl.
Western Girls, yeah.
That's a really good song.
It is.
Ahead of its time, Justin.
I really got into Pet Shop Boys. I'm willing to give it another listen.
I really like that song. That's number three. Number two.
Are you going to say Woodshop Barbecue?
I was. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you. And the Ballard Smoke Shop.
Oh, the Ballard Smoke Shop.
Yeah, obviously.
Dang it. I almost missed that one.
I was going to say. No, this is number two is our guy Fitty. I probably like the last two songs better than this one, but it's such a huge hit.
It was a smash. This is what Moore is listening to on the beach.
Yeah,
she's a big 50
person.
Cent fan.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, 425, what about Shopko in Montana? It's on the list.
Yes.
It's on the list, 425.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time at Shopko. We had a different name for it.
What'd you call it?
It's just rude.
Something you can't say here. Something you always say on the radio.
Inappropriate.
Name for Shopko.
So inappropriate.
Well, we are here in Seattle, Brock, and of all of the various musical artists that we play here on a semi-regular basis, only one of them has ever joined this show. So I think he's got to be number one.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Yeah. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up.
Shout out
to
Riff Shop.
Wands, who sang the national anthem on 90s
did
night
he?
At the ballpark.
I love it. There you go.
Job.
Macklemore and Wands with Thrift Shop.
Oh, DMX, Shut Them Down, Open Up Shop.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
Whoa.
9 missed it.
Whoa.
Yeah, about that.
We also had the Shop Till You Drop from SNL, which is kind of fun.
Sock, are we going to have a quarterback controversy?
I hope so. Nothing would make me happier in this world. We got to run. Bump and Stacy are here. They're starting to crowd the studio, desperate to get in and talk for the next 4 hours.
I hope they didn't hear that voicemail. That was really rude.
That was super rude. I'm pretty offended. This is why I hate surprises. I'm going to be covering up all my various body parts forever. You guys have robbed me of my self-confidence, if nothing else. Stick around for Bump and Stacy. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, Brock the Hay.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!